Hey guys, welcome to the One Piece Brothers podcast. You got me, Big K.
And it's me, your boy, Don Sam.
We are the One Piece Brothers. Let's go.
Yo, let's get it. You already know what time it is.
Yeah. Back at you with another one. It's 2020, first podcast of the year. I know last year we were kind of iffy. We were going hard in the beginning and kind of fell off the map. But we're back here. New year, new us. And we got a special guest on the podcast, one of our biggest fans. She's been up to date on the podcast. She's one of the biggest One Piece fans we know. Her name is Rahma. And yeah, would you like to give your introduction?
Yes, thank you for the great introduction. You know, I listen to your podcast all the time, so I just decided, let me hop on. One Piece is my favorite anime, actually. That's what made me really listen to you guys' podcast. But yeah.
So how long have you been watching One Piece?
Oh man, so long. I think it was like, I consider it my first anime that I ever watched. Like probably, I don't know, when I was, I think I started when I was like 13 probably.
Or, oh wow.
Yeah, I don't really remember, to be honest. My brother put me on.
You know, that's proper. You know, your brother's a real one still.
Yeah.
So when you first started One Piece, did you start out like, you know, first you got introduced, you know, to the main cast, and then from there at this point where you're on right now, like, who's your favorite character in the beginning, and then as you progress through the series, like, did that same character still is your main, or did it like switch between different people?
I feel like my favorite character, my ultimate favorite character, has never changed. It's always been Zoro from the first episode till now.
That's a safe.
I liked Ace for a while, but he died. So, you know, you can.
I know what you mean. Yeah. I know for me, Zoro is still my favorite character. Ever since he was first introduced, even right now, currently in anime and manga, he's still my top favorite character. And yeah, honestly, I also love Ace as well, but I don't know. I just felt like he didn't get that much spot time. But even when he did, he was just dope. And then part of me was just like, oh, you know, I don't know how far are you in the show right now? Because I might get to spoil territory.
I'm in Wano. Like, I only watch the anime, so I only know what's up to date to the anime, but I'm like on 1003 probably.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. So yeah, I know for me, I was expecting more out of Ace, and the most of the time he ever got screen time was when he was about to get executed, you know, or he's in prison or he's in chains. And I'm just like, bro. And then like just seeing him like crying, like being emotional, it's like, oh bro, fam, bro. You're set up to be a cool ass character. You look like the cooler version of Luffy, you know, and then he had a dope ass double fruit with the flame fruit. And it was just like, I was expecting a lot out of him, but then it just, I don't know, left me a little bit disappointed. But
even at the same time, even when he was crying, I still loved him. It made me love him more. Because he just wanted to live. And that arc, that was the first time I think I ever cried for a show. Like when he died, I literally cried. It was the most heartbreaking scene ever.
No, I know. But I never cried. I feel sad, but I never cried.
You didn't cry?
No. I've never really cried in anime. The only time I ever cried was you know, those other sad anime films like Your Name. That was one where I cried, or Your Line Here, but I cried a little bit, but I don't get tears or anything. Usually I just feel a little sad.
What were you saying? Go ahead.
No, for me, I was gonna say, for me, I was really bawling my eyes out when he passed away. Because it was just really sad. And then watching him cry, and then, you know, talking about him being born as a demon. And then him finally actually got what he wanted out of life, which was, you know, the love of Luffy, Sabo, and of course his crewmates, you know, the Whitebeard.
And you got that father figure.
Even how he died was the worst part. He died to the worst character in the entire anime. I think I always hated Akainu from the first moment I saw him. He's just a trash character.
He's not a trash character. He's the top hated. But in reality, you have to really think about it. What happened to this guy to make him hate pirates so much?
Well, I don't care. I don't even care. I don't care. He's just, even when he was, even in the scene when Ace died, he was supposed to go and like just stay and help Sengoku guys get rid of like the Blackbeard pirates. But instead of doing that, he's chasing after the Whitebeard pirates. He needs to get his priorities straight in life.
Yeah, no, no, that guy, he takes things a lot, very personal.
He does.
I agree. I know, I agree. I believe for Oda, he did it for a reason. And a lot of, I know some people in the fandom were speculating that he had a bad history with Luffy's father, Dragon. So from there, it pretty much, yeah, it became more personal with him and ensuring that, oh, he ends, you know, not necessarily the monkey bloodline, like how he did it with Ace, but he was dead set on trying to kill Luffy, ending his life. And even though he was in a, you know, like in a mentally broken state where he can't even fend himself anymore, it was just like, nah, bro, as long as you're breathing, your ass is getting out. Like, you're getting taken out. And it was just like, I'm like, damn, bro, let this man live. Yeah, exactly. Like you said, I'm like, bro, look, this Blackbeard, like, he's literally tearing shit up in the other side of the war. Like, fam, yeah, exactly. I'm like, bro, you got to help out Sengoku and Garp and those mans. You know what I mean? Fam, this guy literally stole Whitebeard's dough through. He's causing havoc, and you're going after a defenseless person. Yeah. Oh, that's wild.
Wait, so Sam, you said something interesting there. So you said that there's some theories going on with Akainu, and then you said something happened with Dragon? I never heard about that.
So, yeah, I was just reading some Reddit theories where the reason why, like, oh, like, you know those little snippets of when he was interacting with Luffy, he always referred to him as Dragon's son or Straw Hat. But yeah, when he was mentioning Dragon's son, you know, in those times, I felt like, oh, it's like, bro, why not acknowledge him for who he really is? And you keep referring to as like, yo, this man's son. And that's when it hit me. It's like, oh, you know, there may have been history between them. You know, they might have, you know, where Dragon used to be a former Marine. And then he left the Marines for X, Y, and Z reason, which we don't know of. But
I saw that too.
It's going to be revealed later on, possibly in the story, once we, like, you know, see more out of him. Because even till today, he's still the biggest mystery, one of the biggest mysteries in the whole show. So from there, when he was leaving the Marines, like, him and Akainu were tight. And because after he left and become kind of revolutionary, it's, you know, it rubbed off Akainu the wrong way. It's like, yo, you're my homie, and then you left me out. You know, I don't, you know, like, I don't want to say some shit where like, oh, bro, take me with you. Like, but, you know, so for me, I always felt that, you know, he took it personal and he was just dead set on just killing Luffy as a way to get back at Dragon.
Yeah. From even, I saw the theory about Dragon used to be a Marine. And the reason that I saw that he left was because, like, he doesn't like the system. And even like the Revolutionary Army, like, their main objective is to take out like the world government and like the celestial dragons and stuff. And when he was a Marine, I think he saw like all those like injustices, and it made him want to like basically start the Revolutionary Army.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I know for a Dragon, yeah, he definitely must have seen something which inspired him to form the Revolutionary Army, you know, and gather like-minded people and inspire freedom, you know, above all else. And then we've seen that when back in Logtown, when he saved Luffy from Smoker. And at the moment, nobody knew who he was. Nobody knows the relationship that he had with Luffy, other than the fact that, like, oh, later on, it was revealed at the end of Enies Lobby that, oh, he was his father. And it all makes sense as to why he saved him, because, oh, that was his son. And he wanted to ensure that, you know, his son was able to be free to follow his own path and his own dream. So again, like, a guy that seeks out freedom, like, why should anyone deny that? So that's what really stood out to me about Dragon's character. And I definitely want to see more out of him going forward in the story.
I feel like he was just being a deadbeat dad, to be honest.
Yeah. No,
these anime fathers, all of them deadbeat. Who do you think is the worst one? Dragon? No.
No, it's the guy from Full Metal Alchemist, right, Sanam? That guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah!
Hold on, what?
I don't know his name, but yeah, that guy.
You're the one who turned his daughter into the dog thing, right?
Yeah, I did not expect that at all. No, I was so glad I wasn't shocked.
Oh, you guys talking about Shaw Tucker? Oh, shoot, never mind. I thought you were talking about Von Hohenheim.
No. The guy with the glasses, the blonde guy, turned his daughter to...
That scene was crazy. Even Endeavor was pretty bad, like, at the start. He was pretty bad.
Yeah, but he gets better over time.
Yeah, he gets better over time.
He's not even that bad. He's like a real-life abusive parent, you know? Like, they're bad, but they're like one in a hundred. But you'll see them everywhere.
At least if you're going to be abusive to, like, the kids in the good way, you know, like, you know, just maybe hitting your kid once in a while. But this guy was even abusive to his wife. He was abusive to everybody.
Yeah, he specifically picked her, too. Like, he was doing a selective breeding because he wanted his offspring to be super powerful. And he reminds you of? At the end, it reminds you of LeVar Ball, but not in the sense that he's abusive, but...
the basketball guy?
Yeah, LeVar Ball, because he went in an interview... And he said that when he was in college, he was very selective of who he wanted to marry. And he chose to marry his wife, Tina, because she was 6'4". She was a really good basketball player. And she has some good genetics. So he's like, if I marry her, plus me, who's 6'8", we're going to get some nice-ass baller kids. And then he got some nice-ass baller kids. So.
That's actually hilarious.
Hilarious. Yeah, that's jokes, bro. Honestly... No, for me, I would say the worst father compared to those guys, and he beats those guys out of the dust, would be Jing Freaks from Hunter's Hunter.
Yeah, he's that pretty
guy,
bad too.
That guy's not that bad. He's just MIA. He's like the guy who went to get milk and never came back. He's not that bad.
Bro, fam, listen, bro, you remember in the Electra's arc where Leorio was asking Jing if you want to see Gon, and the man straight up asked him, guy's like, does the man want to see me? And then he got cheesed because Gon was like in a coma. He obviously couldn't say that even if he was alive. And I'm just like, yo, dude, you're a piece of shit.
He's pretty trash.
He was trash. And for me, I was just so happy when Leorio knocked his ass out, you know, and just told him to go to hell, you know.
he's
wild, man. He's crazy.
Yeah, from out of them, I would say definitely the Full Metal Alchemist though, because that scene was just sick. Even the whole anime, not gonna lie, like, I liked it, but it was kind of scary. I would not watch it at nighttime.
Would you agree? For me, I watch that at nighttime. Well, sometimes, you know, if I'm binge watching and then it'll go like late hours. Yeah, there's some cases where I can't watch some scenes in the night because it's a little bit
like some demon worshipping evil stuff was going on. I could not watch that at night. No, but it was still a good anime.
You know you shouldn't watch at night? Freaking Attack on Titan. Like, do not watch that at night. I remember I watched the first episode. It was midnight in my basement, and everything was dark. And all I see is just a bunch of blood gushing, Titans eating people's half bodies. That was, like, one of the worst experiences.
I feel like Attack on Titan was okay when I watched it, but Full Metal Alchemist was just different. It was dark. I feel like Attack on Titan is not... It's a bit dark, but it's not... dark when you're watching it.
Yeah, it's honestly, it's one of those shows where it definitely does get dark, but for me, what really intrigues me is like the storytelling, you know, the character relationships, those interactions, you know, and then just the world itself, and especially all the plot twists are so amazing and good.
Did you guys watch the new season?
To be honest with you, for me, I'm already up to date. However, I didn't watch the latest episode that just dropped recently for season 4, part 2. But I'm planning to watch it, inshallah, very soon. So I'm hoping, and a lot of people said, man, this episode already right off the gate is bonkers. You know, it's like, it's wild. And I'm just like, chill.
I already watched the new episode yesterday. Actually, it was really good. Basically, it takes off where it stopped last time. And it's just basically Eren versus Reiner. And it's getting really intense. And then you also have all the other people who were in jail the last time we saw them, like Armin, Mikasa, Connie, all these guys. And then the whole Marley army is coming. So honestly, I remember reading the manga before, but I forgot what happened. All I know, I remember the ending, but I just forgot how it came to that point. So I'm looking forward to the new Attack on Titan season because I already know it's going to be a straight banger. And...
It dropped on Sunday, and when it had dropped, I was just watching a random different anime, and the whole Crunchyroll website, it crashed when it got released. Yeah. And on Twitter, everybody was like, yo, what's going on? Like, literally, it was like, I bet there was like a bunch of people trying to watch it and it got crashed.
No, that's exactly what happened. Attack on Titan, it broke the Crunchyroll servers. I remember the last time this happened, yeah. I think it was when Goku versus Jiren in Dragon Ball Super, that broke the Crunchyroll servers again and even other anime websites as well.
People watch Dragon Ball Super?
No, listen, Dragon Ball Super, when it was in the Tournament of Power, the last arc, it was big, Goku versus Jiren, and then he was getting a new Super Saiyan transformation. It was Ultra Instinct.
This guy's a Super Saiyan transformation.
Sorry, my bad, not Super Saiyan, like the Celestial transformation of Ultra Instinct.
Yeah, but I can't wait to watch the new season. Before I watch it, I have to rewatch part one because I don't really remember what happened, to be honest. Actually, I don't think I even watched it. No, in Attack on Titan.
Oh, yeah, Attack on Titan. Yeah. No, honestly, you don't need to rewatch the old one. Just keep watching, to be honest.
Okay.
Yeah. Honestly, I know for me, I've already up to date on what happens in the manga, like even after the library last chapter. So I already know what's going to happen in the series. But for me, I'm not one of those people that's going to nitpick. You know, it's like, oh my God, fam, bro, why did they change the scene, man? It was way better than the manga. It's been really great. The only thing I'm a little bit iffy on season four was just a little bit of CGI because I was used to how it was in the first three seasons. But aside from that, it's still a very solid show and, you know, the storyline's still banging. So I'm hoping to see, you know, all those sick moments that happened in the manga be able to translate well in the anime. So definitely looking forward to that.
Is Attack on Titan a new gen anime or is it like a...
No, it's old gen. No. Attack on Titan is old gen, yeah. Even though it's still coming out, that's like saying One Piece is new gen. Like, even though it still comes out, it's not.
Yeah, but I don't know why, but Attack on Titan feels new gen. Maybe like after like the third season or maybe like the fourth season, it felt more like the newer style, like My Hero Academia. I felt like with those vibes. I wouldn't put it in like the same category as like One Piece, Hunter.
Yeah. Honestly, the way I look at it, I still look at Attack on Titan as one of the new gen animes because it came out post 2010 era. Like My Hero Academia. Yeah. So to me, I'll consider it as a new gen anime. But yeah, like shows like One Piece where it was just long running with Detective Conan, those are definitely old school anime shows that just never ends. Well, at least probably in the next few years, but I don't watch Detective Conan. So I don't know where they're going off with that. But I know for One Piece, yeah, it's been going on since the 90s and is definitely going to continue at least for another decade.
I heard it's going to end after 8 years. So 8 years from now.
Yeah, I heard the voice actor said that, right?
Yeah, the voice actor for Luffy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, now, I've seen that too.
Oda said 5 years ago, 2 years ago. So you can't really trust these guys, even though technically it's close to the end. I don't know, man. They'll probably find some way to drag it.
Oda himself straight up said, yo, he was surprised that Wano was still going on this long. I was like, dog, what are you talking about? You're in the story.
I feel like Wano should end soon. It should end. Because yeah, I don't know, it's just, I don't really like it when it drags. I'm okay with it being, the anime being long, but I think they should just move on to the next part.
No. They're trying, you know, I feel like Oda, he's moving, he's going towards that point, but then he also has to answer a lot of the unanswered questions and then make sure you fill in all the gaps because imagine the last almost 10 years, like Dressrosa, Zoa, and, Punk Hazard, all of these things led up to this point right now in Wano for like almost 10 years. So he can't end it off too quick, right? But at the same time, he can't be too slow with it. So
I heard Wano is going to finish in the next 2 years.
My God.
I feel like 2 years is a bit much.
Yeah.
Well, to be honest with you, I could definitely see that in the anime, but in the manga, I know for a fact it's going to end this year. There's no way in hell he's going to extend it any longer because right now, Wano started. I remember the very first chapter was back in July 2018. So right now we're in January 2022. And straight up, the man said, watch for Luffy. And then, Wano arc is going to be spectacular when he draws that last panel. Of course, I'm not going to get too much spoiler detail because I know Rahma is only up to the anime. But one thing I know for sure is is that the one arc itself in the manga is definitely going to end this year. I would say end of spring, beginning of summer. But, you know, if it does end earlier, I'm still happy, because at the end of the day, yeah, it's definitely dragging out a little too long. And I want to move on, you know, like to the next phase. Like, bro, are they going to get the Elbaf? Or, you know, when they're going to reach Locktail? When are they going to find the war on the Mary Joa, you know, against those old guys? I forgot their name was the Elder Stars or the Gurusei, you know, and then be able to figure out what is the national treasure. Are they going to confront, you know, Im-sama, you know, that mysterious figure that's leading, you know, the whole government, that secret king. So I want to explore a bit more of that. Oh, and also I want to explore more on Shanks and Blackbeard, see where those guys are at as well.
Yeah. I think Shanks might be getting his own movie if it's not being canceled. I'm not too sure about that.
No, but he's getting it.
Nice, nice. At the end of Wano, I think there might be a new member of the Straw Hats. Who do you guys think is going to be? Yeah, okay. I really hope it's not Carrot. That's the only thing. Yeah, she needs to go back to her island. She needs to go back. Yeah. It needs to be Yamato. I know it's between Yamato and Carrot.
Bro, I seen the fandom. They're just like eating each other. Every time they see, I saw fan arts of Yamato with the crew, and they see comments in the comment section, be like, "Where's Carrot, bro? Damn, yeah, how can you disrespect her like that, bro? She's like you know, like top girl for a reason." I'm like, bro, that's a bunny. We talking about, like, that's a, you know, I'm like, bro, that's like a humanoid, you know, animal. That doesn't count, you know. Versus Yamato
is a man.
A man, but then it was actually confirmed she's actually a woman, because those Oda came out and confirmed himself that Yamato's gender, she's actually female. So yeah, that pretty much ends the whole debate, what people were implying. But then again, I blame him for causing that, you know, that that issue in the first place, because when she was introduced, she was introduced as Kaido's daughter. But then everyone refers to her as Kaido's son. And, you know, and then they use the pronouns he or him. And I'm just like, bro, why are you making that confusion? Like, that's so weird. Why didn't you make it clear cut from the beginning?
No, that he's accommodating to everyone nowadays. You know, everyone has their own preferred pronouns.
Exactly. She's a woman biologically, but she identifies as a man because she wants to be Odin.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm just happy they got that cleared out of the way. But if people still argue about that, I'm like, bro, you're arguing against the, you know, the maker of the show. And I'm just like, bro, you guys need help.
Yeah, I'm telling you, the reason why Yamato is going to be the last Straw Hat member is because, you know, she's basically taken on Odin's will. And she's taken on the will. And remember, Odin last time joined the King of the Pirates crew. So she's going to join Luffy, the future King of the Pirates crew. She also wants to explore the world, explore the ocean, see everything. And the fact that she's already helping Luffy, all these other previous Straw Hat members, they all have their moments where they help Luffy or they have some sort of interaction with him. So I'm highly confident that it's going to be her. And if it's not, I'm going to be cheesed.
Same.
I really hope it's
her. If it's Carrot, I think there's going to be a riot. That's all I know.
No, there's going to be a riot of people who are happy and a riot of people who are angry. So
who is going to be happy? No,
there's a lot of people who want her. I don't prefer her, but there's a lot of people who want her.
To be honest with you, I remember back in Whole Cake when people said, she joined the crew, even though she put in work in Whole Cake Island, which I'm not going to lie, I sort of agree with you. But I know for in Wano, at least in this arc time, she disappeared, bro.
What the hell happened to her? Yeah. Exactly. So for sure, she
was like Nami's shadow. So far, from what I've seen, she's just Nami's shadow, just following her around.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, you know, like she's like that supporting character. She's not like a character where
a main character,
you know, like a main character, right? You know, like in that arc. So, and I know for the other previous Straw Hats who, before they got to join the crew, they were pretty much the main character of those arcs. Like with Zoro, he was in back in Romance Dawn, you know, in Shelltown. And then you have Nami. Well, technically she joined, but then she left and then rejoined again on Island Park. And on Island Park is pretty much Nami's arc, right? You know, when you got more, you know, in depth on her character, her backstory, and then eventually at the end of it, once Luffy beat Arlong, she ended up joining, and then Usopp joined in Zero Village after they beat Kudo in the Black Cat Pirates. And that was sort of his arc too, because, you know, that was his home village and he got a lot of shine. And then you got afterwards Sanji in the Bratier, and then you have Chopper and Drum Island, and then Robin. Rob was the most unexpected one, that's for sure. Back in,
was she? I kind of wanted was. Her.
No. I'll tell you guys the commonality of all of these members. They all had their own flashbacks. We did not see Kira have her own flashback. We saw Yamato have her flashback. Yeah. So it's a done deal right there. Bang.
Nice. Done. Even when Jinbei was joining the crew, I didn't really want him to join at first because I didn't know how the dynamics would work with him. And yeah, like,
why is he? What's he gonna do? Right?
Yeah. But then later onwards, like after Whole Cake, I was like, yeah, this guy's good. And even more in Wano, when I saw his, like, he has like a pretty good friendship with Robin. Like when you see them, like, I feel like they're.
Yeah,
they have like a good friendship that you can like to see and watch and see how it goes on.
Watch Jinbei.
It's because they're like the oldest, or actually no, technically Brooks oldest, but these two are like the second and third oldest, so they already have that sort of maturity bond. Everybody else is super young when you really think about it. They're
But Frankie is like old, but he's not really old. He acts young.
Yeah, he's like an adult in the mind of a child.
Yeah.
True. That's fair enough. So honestly. With all these characters, I know that like for Yamato, she's actually getting really a lot of great shine, like both in the anime and the manga, and Kira just like disappearing, you know, only appearing snippets here and there. So honestly, at this point, and don't worry, like for me personally, like I like Yamato more than Kira, because like at first originally I liked Kira, you know, but not like to the point where like, oh, I want this girl to join the crew, because like I don't know, I was just like. I don't know, part of me just felt a little bit iffy on that. Like, she was cool as a support, but do you want to see this bunny girl you know, like get a lot of shine and screen time, you know, all the way till the end of the show?
That's exactly
I was like I don't want to see her too often, and I just find her a bit annoying at times. And don't worry, for Yamato, she's a bit annoying too when she tries to act like Odin, and I'm hoping that she actually overcomes that, so probably she may get more development on that. But aside from that, fam, she's dope as hell. And she's amazing design. Her attacks are sick as hell. I'm like, bro, fam, listen, honestly, think about this for a sec. What sounds better on paper? A bunny girl from an island of animals, or literally the daughter of an emperor, Yonko?
And she's like part of demon. She's one of the last few, the Oni tribe. Because that's one of the last missing races. Big Mom wanted giants and Onis, right?
So yeah. Exactly.
That's
exactly
why she wanted Kaido to join her peoples or whatever, her island.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And to me, I'm representing like, yo, don't get me wrong, like Amika is cool and everything, but Famio, and only like her Famio, where she's able to like deal damage, tank damage. It's, bro, honestly, at this point, it's a done deal. And yeah, like what Kaido was saying, if at the end of this arc, she doesn't have joined the crew, even after she specifically said, yo, listen, after this arc, I'm going to join Luffy's crew. I'm going to sail on his ship. I'm going to sail the seas with him, you know, and then live out the dream that Odin had. And if that falls short or she ends up diverting for whatever reason, I'm going to be left disappointed as well. Because I feel like it was a great setup. And, you know, I know some people are not liking it because they found out like, oh, she's like the first person to do it. But I'm just like, hey, you guys did forget. Robin did the exact same thing at the end of the Alabasta arc, and there was no there's no hints here and there that were giving readers and also viewers, like anime viewers, the the perspective that, oh, Robin's contention of becoming part of the crew, she like it only came known and literally shocked the whole fandom, right? But for Yamato, she already declared it right then and there at the moment of her introduction that she wants to join Luffy's crew. And a lot of people say like, no, like just because she announced it doesn't mean she's actually going to join. I'm just like, oh, man, shut up.
I feel like most people would want her to join because she's also strong.
Yeah, I think we need an alpha female.
Yeah. I feel like that's why for me personally, I don't want Kara to join because I think she's kind of weak. And we already have enough weak people on the crew.
Exactly.
So having Yamato would be better because she's actually strong.
So exactly.
My question for you guys though is, who would be the monster trio? And then is Yamato stronger than Sanji?
I question. Don't think I've seen enough of, like, they haven't shown her fight that much in the anime.
She's banging out with Kaido. What else do you need to see?
Yo, chill. What's wrong with
you? That's her father, though, right? He would probably, like,
no, he does back, not go no? easy. No. Kaido does not give a F who you are, man. If you want that smoke, say, all right, man, come get it.
Oh, yeah. And he even gave her those handcuffs if she leaves. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, because remember, when you're actually thinking about it, she actually grew up with him, right? So the meaning that she most likely trained under him, like, well, at least we can only speculate. We don't know for sure. But definitely, like, premise is almost like, bro, she's a Saiyan, right? If you guys, you know, watch, of course, if you guys know Dragon Ball Z, and from those battles, like, her haki kept blooming and blooming, she kept getting stronger and stronger, you know, to the point where she could literally bang out with, like, possibly the top characters in the show. And, you know, and of course, fam, she could literally, you know, give her father, like, some trouble. Of course, not beat him in battle, but definitely be one of the few people that actually take him on. So that, to me, says a lot about her and what she's capable of.
Bro, she has Conqueror's Haki. This crew is going to have four people with Conqueror's Haki. Luffy, Zoro, Yamato, and then Usopp.
Fam.
Come on now.
Fam. Bro, stop spoiling, man. Come on now.
What am I spoiling? I'm not spoiling anything. Usopp was the one who told us. He said he used Conqueror's Haki. You remember that?
I don't mind, but if it comes out naturally I don't mind, but I'm not surprised a bunch of people fainted
and then everybody's like, oh, who did that? And then you see Usopp shadow. He never did it. He's just a liar. Like, a bunch of people fainted, and then you see Usopp shadow, and then he claimed the credit. So he's like, I was the one who did it. But in reality, I think it was like Big Mom or something. And then those people, they're just kind of closer. But then Usopp took the credit, and then he said he had Conqueror's Haki. But then he doesn't actually have it right now. But there's so much foreshadowing.
Yeah, I think has observation.
Yeah, he just has observation. But I guarantee you, this guy's going to get Conqueror's. I guarantee you.
I know he's gonna die, which is sad.
Yeah,
I've decided.
I've seen some theories about that as well. And like, honestly, I'm one of the few people I could definitely see death flies like on him at the end of the story.
And he's one of my favorite characters.
I know, right? Me too. Shoot, man. Because he's one of those people that is realistic, you know, even though he's weak, at least, you know, when his bravery shines through. And he shows off his admirable qualities, man. Usopp's a top character, man. And I really appreciate what he brings, you know, to the crew. You know, that dynamic, being that support, being that sniper. And fam, bro, when he comes clutch, he comes clutch.
If you were to rank the crew, who would you, like, rank it? Like, your favorite, like, your list. From favorite to least favorite.
I would say for me, of course, number one is Zoro, hands down. And then number two, it's got to be Luffy. Number three is Jinbei, because dude, that man is honor. Like, he's just so fucking loyal, man. Shit, bro, that dude is like a ride or die nigga, and we've seen that countless of times. Every time he gets reintroduced in every arc, it's just absolutely spectacular and it's amazing and sick. You know, like, it just draws you in, and he has a natural charisma. And then after him is going to be, I would say definitely say Usopp, and after Usopp would be Sanji. And after Sanji would be Robin. After Robin would be Brooke. And after Brooke is going to be Nami, then Franky. And then lastly, Chopper. Honestly, yo, Chopper is like my least favorite.
Wait, did you say Sanji? What number was he?
So Sanji was, he is, what is he? Zoro, Luffy.
He was somewhere in the middle?
Jinbei. Yeah, somewhere like six or seven, Jinbei. Somewhere there.
Oh, okay. He's fourth. Yeah, he's fourth. He's fourth after
Jinbei. Fourth? Wow. Okay.
No, you said Jinbei and Usopp.
Oh, sorry. Jinbei, Usopp. My bad. So that makes him six. My bad. Yeah, he's six. Sanji's six. Like, he's a cool character, but at the end of the day, fam, what really downplays him is, fam, bro, the nigga simps way too damn much, man. It's just too, like, I'm not feeling that whatsoever. Like, it was cool. It was cool stuff in the beginning, But then now, because of post time skip, it was just like excessive, and it just like turns me off. And the worst part is when he's fighting women, and then he can't put his I want to say hands on them, but legs on it, if you catch my drift. So, and it's just like, bro, the stakes are high, and you can't hurt this woman. At least to defend yourself, or restrain her. You know what I mean? Like, I don't understand that. It's just stupid. And I understand, like, the core of his character, he can't, harm a woman for whatever reason. But I don't know. It just never sit well with me in the first place. But
he's my least favorite character. I find him very cringy. And it's just, I don't know. He just doesn't do it for me.
Yeah. So who would your top 10 be, Rahma?
Number one, same Zoro. Number two, Luffy. Number three, Robin. Number four, Usopp. Number five, I want to give it to Nami. Chopper. And then number six, Nami. Number seven, I would say
Brooke.
Jinbei. Number eight, Brooke. Number nine, Frankie. Number 10, Sanji. And no reason in particular for Frankie being like second last. It's just, they're just other characters that are better in my eyes.
Yeah, that's fair. I know for me, Frankie's my least favorite character, but I think for me, my top 10 would have to be number one is Usopp, just because he's the most relatable character, and I think he's the funniest. Even though he's a weak guy, I just like who he is. Number two, I would have to say is Robin. Number three would be Luffy. Four, Zoro. Five, Nami. Six, Jinbei. Seven, Brooke. Eight, Chopper. Is Frankie? And then am I missing anybody after Frankie?
No. I think, did you say Brooke?
Yeah, I said Brooke. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Sanji. So I would say Sanji is number nine, and then Frankie number 10.
Even Merle, though, like,
nobody rates Sanji.
Yeah, even though I don't really like Sanji, he has like one of the craziest backstories. Like, his backstory is crazy. Like, when he was stuck on the rock with Zeff, and the fact that he ate his own leg. Just crazy to me.
Yeah, I remember they censored that in anime. I forgot they said something else, right?
Yeah, I know. In the anime, he pretty much chopped off his own leg to save Sanji in the water, but in the manga, he actually literally ate his own leg.
He ate it.
Yeah, which of course, that's way more brutal and gruesome. So of course they had to change it up so that way, it meets viewing standards, because again, it was just too graphic. So, yeah, honestly, it's crazy. Yeah, just hearing that.
I noticed a lot of things in the anime and the manga. Like, sometimes they change stuff. What is something that they changed that you like that they didn't bring in the anime that was in the manga? For me, I know back when when Whitebeard died, and in the manga, his face, like, I've seen the pictures. His face, like half of his face gets blown away. And I'm glad they didn't put that in. Because they can't do that to Whitebeard.
Yeah, you think that's dishonoring him or something?
Yes, they're dishonoring him. Having his face blown off by a Kaido of all people who I hate the most.
But it's realistic though. He's freaking magma fist.
He already has a hole in his chest. At least keep it in his chest. Half his face doesn't need to go.
Yeah, to be honest with you, I agree on that one. I feel like, don't get me wrong, there's a pro and con. The pro would be, it just shows how manly Whitebeard is. Like, he's literally surviving with half his face or like half his head blown off, and he's still doing damage. But at the same time, it's just like, damn, I don't want to see my boy Whitebeard like that, Exactly. Because in the anime, they just, he erased half the man's mustache, and he was still moving around like normal. So honestly, I'm more like, I like it better when they only removed his mustache in the anime versus him getting his half his face blown off in the manga. So, like, yeah, kudos to the anime staff for doing that.
Even, but I wish they kept the part of Zeph eating his leg. That would have been like, damn, that's crazy.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, agreed. Yeah, they should never have censored that part. I felt like, you know, considering it's like it's natural for people to survive, and it's not common. Oh, you know, when they're at their last legs, they have no food whatsoever, you know, where they have to resort to eating part of themselves in order to survive. So I'm more inclined with them keeping that scene and them animating it rather than, yeah, try to censor it and do other ways. It's not to say it was bad, but it definitely would have showed the resolve that Zeph had, you know, and he's trying to instill that same resolve. Exactly. Keep pursuing, keep fighting for your dreams, you know, do what you got to do, even if, you know, if you have to sacrifice, you know, your mobility, you know, or part of your limbs in order to do it. Yeah, it was just, it definitely took away a bit of that, but of course it didn't take away all of it. So that's definitely one of the things that I wanted the anime to still adapt without changing it, rather than trying to, you know, just keep a censorship level. But I understand from their perspective, you know, not everything has to be animated, and then it has to go through a process of some sort just to make sure that when audience see it, like, they wouldn't be grossed out or be shocked by it or like turn or look away.
I'll tell you guys one of the funniest differences, but this was mainly specific to the four kids when they adapted the anime. But I remember in Arlong Park, when Sanji was smoking. Four kids. Yeah, four kids. Man, those guys just ruined everything. But I remember when they were adapting the anime and Sanji was smoking in Arlong Park. This guy was in the Funimation anime, he has a cigarette. In the manga, he has a cigarette. But then when the four kids did the anime, they gave him a lollipop. That was the dumbest thing ever.
That was trash, yeah. Not only that, but his voice was horrendous too.
Yeah, wait, I don't even remember
like,
that.
Why?
It sounded like he had a cold every time he talked. There's something wrong with him.
Luffy, Zoro, you guys need to, you gotta need some help or what? Like,
Luffy was mute.
No, this was in Arlong Park, and then I think maybe the anime you watched, that was probably the good one, is the Funimation version. But if you specifically look for the four kids version, and then you listen to Sanji talk, or whenever he has a lollipop, that's when he's supposed to be smoking. It was just too much.
They totally removed the smoke and just made it into a lollipop.
Yeah, exactly. They totally removed it. They're trying to target a young audience. I remember that used to be on television. Like, that's where I used to watch it.
Yeah,
it was just taking it too far.
Yeah, I never saw that. But that would
that's a good thing. That's a good thing.
Yeah, you're lucky.
That's a good thing. I know for me, because I'm pretty sure most of us who saw One Piece in Canada, we were exposed to the four kids one, and we were exposed to the, you know, to the right dub. So from there, because the heavy censorship and some of the voice acting wasn't that great, so that's what really turned me off on that show, you know. And then revisiting it after a few years, like, I started out with the dub, like the actual good dub, where it was literally exactly like the Japanese animated version of it. The Japanese voice acting part. And from there, you know, that's when it really got me on board with the show. Especially, of course, you know, what really kickstarted the show, obviously everyone knows, is the Arlong Park. You know, like, some people may say other things, but honestly, it's more watching the show from that point on up until now, it's been a banger, and it's been a wild trip.
You guys used to watch One Piece on TV?
Yeah, we used to watch on TV. I remember it was on Channel 25. I think it was something called Bionics. Am I right, Sam, or is it something else?
I think the only...
Yeah, you're right, Bionics.
Quote-unquote anime I watched on TV was probably like Pokemon, Dragon Ball, maybe. All the real anime I watched was on illegal websites until I upgraded in life to Crunchyroll.
Yeah, I remember we used to watch anime back in, like, I'll say late 2000s. And then I think this is before there's those, like, sketchy websites and stuff. So you either had to, like, see it on TV, buy the DVD, or maybe subscribe to Crunchyroll. I don't know if Crunchyroll even existed. It might have, but I remember there used to be, at specific time on Friday nights, you'd see I think Zatch Bell at 8 o'clock, 8:30 would be Bleach. 9 o'clock was Naruto, and then 9:30 was One Piece. It's just something like that. I remember every Friday night, that was something I look forward to every time.
Now, honestly, no, you're close. Actually, it's 8 o'clock was Naruto, 8:30 was Bleach, 9 o'clock was Death Note, and I believe 9:30 was Zatch Bell or some next show.
Whatever
it was, or Gundam.
That sounds right.
The fact that you remember the order of the animes.
Because it was proper, so man. Funny. Like, bro, like, yo, because back in the day when you used to hit on TV, it was way better. Like, watching as a kid and being exposed to it, it was just, like, one of the coolest things ever. It even told us to say, like, I still get nostalgic when I see those shows, you know, just watching it on my TV screen, you know, because it just brings up all those, you know, those good, warm memories. But, of course, you know, like, yeah, that was it. That was what it was back in the day. But nowadays, you know, everybody's just streaming it now. You know, like you said, Crunchyroll or all these other sites where they're uploading, you know, new anime shows. And, you know, people just watching like, oh, from their monitor screen. Some people hook it up on their TV, you know. And it's honestly, fam, you know, like we definitely got a good direction on how they're, you know, streaming anime shows and just putting out there for people to watch, you know, for years on end.
I remember for a long time I was on Kiss Anime, and now I was so sad when it got deleted.
Yeah, you know why it got deleted is because everybody was telling everybody about it. So I guess it became just too well known, and they got too many lawsuits, and they couldn't beat the lawsuits, so they had to get taken down.
Sad time.
Yeah, so worse. And also, don't forget, they also closed that manga stream. Also, mad. Man, the good
is that
times.
A website for manga?
Yeah, it was a top website, one of the top websites out there for manga, especially back in the day. For me, I remember when I first started out reading manga was reading Naruto in the Five Kage Summon arc, literally right at the moment where I left off from the anime. And it was like, oh, Sasuke versus Naruto. Sorry, not Sasuke, Naruto. It was Kakashi stopping Sasuke from killing Sakura and also killing Kari. So from there, that's when I first started reading manga on a manga stream. And of course, eventually I started reading manga with One Piece for Dressrosa, because I literally stopped exactly where the anime was when I was binge watching One Piece all the way up to the latest episode, which was them escaping from Doflamingo, you know, ensuring Luffy comes back. And then from there, as I was reading the One Piece manga up until this point, that's always been my go-to site up until they finally announced that site was being taken down because of copyright issues. So from there, that's when I started exploring other places, you know, to read manga. And of course, yeah, I definitely found some really great sites. So it worked out in the end.
And my go-to is probably now Gogo Anime and Nine Anime. I don't know if I should say, but I'm just going
to
say it anyway.
Yeah, no, I'm curious. Yo. Like, we need to encourage people to watch these websites, man. I feel like Netflix and Hulu and Crunchyroll, like, we shouldn't be paying to watch these things, right? We should watch for free.
But the good thing about those websites like Netflix and Crunchyroll is you can download it and you can watch it offline.
Yeah, they make it the mobile experience.
Exactly. Yeah, it's nice.
Okay, guys, so before we end off the episode, I just wanted to ask you guys one last question. If you had to pick your favorite One Piece arc, what would it be?
Okay, no, you go first, Adam. You go first.
Okay, this is a little bit tough because honestly, there are a lot of arcs that are great. Of course, some were like, all right. But if I had to really say top number one arc, I would have to say the arc that we're currently on, Wano Country. It's just like, I feel like right now seeing where because for me, I'm not going to get spoiled with the manga. But where we are at the manga and, of course, at the anime, I think right now One Piece is at an all-time high. And this arc is really delivering through on everything. Of course, there's some things that I wish that were changed. Like Hiyori is one of those characters I wish she was a dope-ass samurai. Like, she was, like, one of the strongest ones out there. Aside from that, it's been spectacular. It's amazing. You know, getting, a bit more into... with Kaido's backstory, you know, like, definitely want to see more out of that because he's one of the most interesting characters in this arc. Getting seeing Odin, you know, and all his glory, seeing him travel with Roger and Whitebeard, seeing Roger fight for the first time, you know, in the whole story, which is crazy because we only see people saying, oh, he's literally the strongest character, but we never saw his man scrap. Seeing his man scrap, and then it's just absolutely amazing. And of course, seeing a prime Whitebeard scrap too is just super sick. So I'm definitely looking forward to see where this arc ends. I think this arc is going to be spectacular. And I know right now at this point, it's not finished, but I'm going to put this arc as my number one. So what do you guys think?
Wait, what's your, also include your least favorite arc too. You have to say your least favorite.
Oh, my least favorite arc is the Long Ring, Long Line arc with Foxy. It was like right after Skypiea is when they did those Davy back fights. That was like my least favorite.
Yeah, no, it was sucked, but I'll tell you the only good thing to come out of that was Afro Luffy and boxing coach Usopp. That was the only good thing that came out.
Yeah, exactly that. And also Zoro and Sanji teaming up, for the first time. That was like the only two good parts in the arc. Aside from that, I wasn't feeling it whatsoever. I want to skip it.
You know what's funny though? That's actually canon. And then some people are saying that because it's canon, there has to be a reason why it's there. And some people are saying that back in the day, before the Rock Pirates became a thing, people might have went on that island. You know that black island Blackbeard owns, where it's like a pirate haven. Everybody goes there and hangs out. Some people are saying that Rocks, he did that Davy back game, and then that's how he acquired all these powerhouses from either by themselves or he got them from different crews and stuff. So some people are saying he might have done the Davy back games.
Yeah, I've also heard about that as well. And if that is the case, then yeah, like you said, Oda wouldn't, write that arc in for no reason. So if that is true, honestly, it's definitely gonna, well, definitely boost the arc more than already is. Like, oh my god, it's a big callback when they did that fight, and then Luffy and those guys already participate in it, and then you realize that, oh, most of the top tiers that are currently in the show, whether they're deceased or not, are still alive. Participate in those Davy back fights. So again, if it's a strong callback, then I'm all in for it. But what do you guys think? I know for Hadi, you mentioned that was your, is that what was your least favorite arc? Was that your favorite arc?
No, I never mentioned mine. I know for me, my favorite arc is obviously the Enies Lobby arc. And then my least favorite would have to be that arc where they got Usopp. I think the Serp Village arc. That was just one of the worst. I feel like I was forcing myself and dragging just to watch the next episode. And I just hated it. The only good thing was obviously Usopp, but even then Usopp was a really, really, really annoying character at first to me. So
yeah,
buying all those things, I really didn't like it. But then the reason why Enies Lobby is the best arc is because Usopp. Because of Water 7. Water 7 was such a good arc, and then it set it up for Enies Lobby. So it's kind of like Dwayne Wade and LeBron. So like Dwayne Wade, like each Oda's like the basketball, and then Water 7 is like Dwayne Wade just throwing up the lob, and then his lob is like LeBron James just slam dunking it. And I don't know, like just seeing Robin saying I want to live, that shit gave me goosebumps. All the Straw Hats, I think, except Usopp, they all had their moments where they're fighting like legit someone, and then they're all on the brink of death, or you're getting really close to defeat, and then you see the Mary like come out of nowhere saving them, and then these guys leaving one of the strongest government holdings. It was just too much, right? Too much great stuff. That's my number one.
For me, my favorite arc, it changed. It used to be Dressrosa. Like everything about that arc was perfection. Doflamingo is still my favorite antagonist to this. Actually, he's my second favorite antagonist after Blackbeard. So now my new favorite arc is Wano. Everything is going crazy. I watched the whole arc in a few months after taking a long break. So it's pretty good. Oh, and my least favorite is probably Punk Hazard was pretty boring, to be honest.
Oh, Punk Hazard was kind of good. It was kind of good. Like, especially that speech from Law.
Oh, yeah. That was good.
No, for Punk Hazard, those arcs were... It's definitely... To me, it was more like a setup arc. To Dressrosa and Wano and sort of Whole Cake, you know? So having that as a prelude, but yeah, I definitely say it's one of those arcs where it should have dragged out the way it did. You know, just like Dressrosa, Dressrosa was dragged out way too effing much.
I was okay with the dragging.
It felt like I think it was 6 years, right?
For that arc, six years or something?
I don't know. It felt like 6 years.
Yeah. No, actually, for that arc, right now, previously, before Wano, the arc was considered the longest arc. So, and that arc lasted for like three or three and a half years.
That was amazing. Yeah. 3 years.
Yeah, it was good, but I felt like.
Senor Ping.
Oh yeah, that show was sad. I don't think I was a weirdo, but
I thought it was a weirdo at first, but then at the end,
yeah, his backstory came through emotional.
Exactly.
Yeah, it was. Fam, yeah. Oh my god, you're
and all like the individual fights, all of them are good. I liked it.
Yeah, everybody had their sick ass moments, you know. And that's the thing about Oda, he make you hate a character, but give him a good backstory and then you'll start loving him. So I can't wait to hear Kaido's backstory.
Yeah. I don't know why he's obsessed with Joy Boy. I'm curious to see that.
For sure. And yeah, so Rahma, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. We really appreciate you taking the time out of your day. And
thank you for having me.
You're very welcome.
Hopefully you guys are continuous with the no long hiatus anymore.
Yeah,
inshallah. Definitely we're gonna pump out more episodes going forward, and inshallah, definitely hoping to have you back definitely talk a bit more about One Piece and spread our love for it. And then of course hopefully other down the line we'll may consider getting more guests on board
and me again.
Yeah, you again, of course, since you're pretty much our number one, the first one. So, we can't diss you, So from there, definitely looking forward to getting a chance to talk to you again and definitely continue, to do more content, and we can definitely grow from there.
For sure. And hopefully we don't act like the creative Hunter x Hunter, right? That guy has been on a hiatus for God knows how long.
He's never coming back, guys. He's never coming back.
Yeah, he's not. So sad.
So yeah, guys, that's our podcast for today. Thank you guys so much for listening. If you enjoyed the podcast, please listen, subscribe, share with your friends and family. And we hope you guys have a great day. Peace
out, y'all. Take it easy.